Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim Daf Chaf. We will begin on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. As we learned in the previous Mishnah, in the previous sugya, Stam Nedarim LaHachmir, when we have a neder that we need to interpret, we interpret it L'Chumra. However, the Mishnah also continued teaching us Upirusham LaHakel. If it needs definition, we allow it to be defined leniently. And that's going to be the subject of our Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Nada B'Cheirim, if somebody used the word Cheirim. And as we learned in the previous Mishnah, till now we always assumed the Cheirim can mean one of two things. Either Cheirim Kohanim, which is not a Dover Osir, and therefore would not be a Nether, or Cheirim Bedekabayis, Cheirim Gavoa, which would be an effective Nether. This person says something altogether different. Vama, this person, as he interprets his Nether, says, I meant Lo Nedarti El Mecheirim Shalyam. I meant a net that's put out in the sea. And as Rishonim help us understand the Mishnah, they explain that what is this Mishnah teaching us? This Mishnah is teaching us, they say, firstly, as we said previously, that if somebody wants to define his nether and say that his nether meant something which would make it an ineffective nether, he doesn't have to say it immediately. He could even say it later. But the Mishnah, say Rishonim, is also teaching us a much bigger chiddush. When we use the word Cheirim, so Cheirim Kohanim, Cheirim Bedekabayis are both legitimate explanations. To say that the person used the word Cheirim and he meant a net that's put in the sea, very far-fetched. So perhaps we shouldn't accept that explanation. Teaches us the Mishnah that included in the halacha of Pirushim Lahakal is that even such a far-fetched explanation is accepted. And the Mishnah gives us a number of such examples. Somebody said the carbon, and as we've been learning, carbon is the best hatfasa, because a carbon is a davar hanader. And the person says, when I said carbon, loin the dati el b'karbonish malachim, I meant not a carbon that we bring on the mizbeach, which is a davar hanader, I meant the gifts that are given to the king, that were also called karbonis. We believe him. If somebody said, hare atzmi carbon, I am a carbon. And as Rishonim say, either what he meant to say was that he should not be allowed to have anor, he was saying that to another person, or he meant to say that I'm donating my value for Hegdish. That's what we would say the word hare atzmi carbon means. And then he says, no, what I meant was, lo nedarti ela be'etzem shenachti liyis noidabai. I have a bone in my home. Bone, etzem. And when I said this nedar, I meant that bone. Which is obviously very, very far-fetched. We believe him. A person says, Koinim ishti nenesli. He makes a nether that my wife not, may not have any benefit from me. So he has a problem now with his wife. So he comes and says, Vamalon nedarti elab ishti rishoina. I didn't mean my current wife. I meant my former wife. Shigirashti, that I divorced. The aloch is, Akulon einishom him. Even, there's no requirement for a Torah. This is Posh Pshat in the Mishnah. We'll get into it more in the Gemara. The nether, we accept his interpretation, which invalidates the nether. Continues the Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. We just said we don't even have to ask. It's automatically null and void. And now it says, V'mnishalu, if they do ask, we punish him, and we are machmer on him. What this means, too, we'll see in the Gemara. As the Ran explains, the machloikis of Ramei and the Chachamim refers to two dinim. One is that according to Rameir, we punish him. What the punishment is, we'll learn in the Gemara. The Chachamim disagree. We don't punish. The second machloikis, as we're going to learn more in Mitzvah Shema tomorrow's shir, when somebody goes to a Chacham to have his neder annulled, there are two processes, there are two ways. It could either be charota, where the person who made the nether says, I regret. And again, we're going to define it in Mitzvah Shem. Or there's a Pesach. A Pesach means that the Chacham asks him, if you were to recognize the consequences of what you said, the circumstances that are in. He says, no, if I would have recognized, then I wouldn't have made the nether. That's called a Pesach. Says Rameyer, if one wants to have this type of nether, that we're learning about in our Mishnah Nold, we can't rely on Charota, we can't rely just on regret. He has to have a Pesach, which is much more a stronger way of annulling the neder. The Chachamim, according to Rand's explanation, disagree. They say, number one, we don't punish him. And number two, when we have the neder annulled, even charota is an acceptable way of having the neder annulled. The Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with the Rand, and he says that the Chachamim are arguing with Rameya only regarding the issue of unshim. That the Rameya says they get punished, and the Chachamim disagree. But regarding how we have the neder annulled, according to Rabbeinu Tam's understanding of the Mishnah, the Chachamim agree with Rameya that a charota would not work, a Pesach is required. And we teach people not to take Nidorim lightly. As the Pasuk says, La Yachel Dvorim. I saw a beautiful pshat from the Orach Hama. He says, Rav Zun LaKreuzer, he says, what is the Mishnah teaching us here? The Mishnah is teaching us, here we have a situation. A person made a neder with this far-fetched explanation. We have all sorts of shilas. Is it a neder? Is it not a neder? How could a neder be annulled? Says the Mishnah, what's the best thing to do? The best thing to do is not have a shayla. Teach your Talmidim. Teach your family the seriousness of a neder. And therefore they will never come to make nedarim that you won't have any shaylas. On Malandam I say, we teach people what nedarim are all about, that they won't come to the shayla. So the Gemara points out the question that we pointed out. Hagu Fakasha, the Mishnah seems to be difficult to understand. Amrit, first the Mishnah says, Ein Shalom Lahem, there's no reason to ask. It's not a nether. Vahadatani, and the next words of the Mishnah are, Im Nishalu, if they do ask, Einchenai Soi Machmir Malem, we just said you don't have to ask. Answers the Gemara, Amr Rav Yehuda Hachiktani. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. The Kulan Ein Tzrichin Shela. These Nidorim, since he interpreted them, Lekula, are really not Nidorim. However, when was this said? B'talmud Chacham, Abam Oritz, Shabal Lishol. If an Am Oritz comes to ask and have the nether annulled, so since he's an Am Oritz, we treat him differently. Why do we treat him differently? So the Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim explain, because we're concerned that Am Oritz is lying. He's coming with this far-fetched explanation, and by Am Oritz, we have to be concerned that he's saying something that's not true. That's one explanation. Another explanation, which is in line with what we've been discussing previously, is if the Amoritz sees that we tell him the nether you don't have to worry about, he may come to treat all the Dorim lightly, and therefore even this nether, which is really not a nether, he has to go through the Shelah's Chochem process. What's the Nafkamina between the two Pshatim? A very interesting Nafkamina. Let's say he comes to Beis Din, and he says this far-fetched explanation. Bezin says, we're not going to be ready to accept that far-fetched explanation. But he in his heart and his mind knows he's saying the truth. He didn't mean this far-fetched explanation. He's not lying. If the concern is that he's lying, so this person knows he's not lying, so then at least in the privacy of his home, he doesn't have to worry about the nether, because he knows it's really not a nether. If the concern is because we don't want Amma Oritz, the Chavos Yoah says this, if the concern is that we don't want Amoritz to start treating the Dorm lightly, even though he knows that this nether is a nether, he'll still have to be machmer. Another interesting machlokes b'shoinim is our Mishnah and Gemara are referring to a situation where the Amoritz came up with a far-fetched explanation. What would be the halacha if he comes up with the explanation that we discussed on Daf Yud Chesam Beis? He says, I meant Cherem Kohanim. He says, I meant Trumas, regular Truma. That the Mishnah said is not far-fetched. What will be the din there? Are we only machmer by an Amoritz when he says a far-fetched explanation? Or are we machmer by Amoritz even when he doesn't give a far-fetched explanation? Another machlokes rishonim is when we're machmer on an Amoritz. Are we machmer only when he made such a neder, when he entered into such a situation, b'mezid? Or, as the Rambam says, even if he entered in such a situation, v'shoygeg, are we also machmer? Continues the Gemara. Bishlama, machmirim, the Mishnah says that we treat the situation l'chumra. What does that mean? As we explained in the Mishnah. We don't annul the nether just because he says that I regret making it. What does it mean that we punished him? What's the punishment? Answers the Gemara. Ketanya, as the Brisa says, Misha Nazar, if somebody accepts upon himself a Naziris, and then Oval Nazirosai, and he violates the Naziris. The halach is, Einis Kakenloi, so let's say somebody accepted upon himself 100 days of Naziris, and then he flagrantly violates. And 50 days, he just drinks grape products, does everything he's not supposed to. And now he wants to come to the Rabbonim and have the Naziris annulled. So says the Tanna Kamma, first you have to correct what you did. For 50 days you did an Aveira. So we first have to make sure that you correct that Aveira, and you have to keep Naziris for 50 days as a punishment. After those 50 days are kept, now we'll talk to you. Rabbi Yois, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yois, Amar Rabbi Yois, b'medvar murim, b'naziris mu'etes, ab naziris merubah dayi lamajoy. Rabbi Yois is a little more lenient than Rabbi Yehuda. He says that if a person accepts upon himself a 30-day naziris, and part of that naziris he violated, so we will not even just talk to him until he makes up the days that he violated. But let's say, going back to our example, he accepted a 100-day naziris, and for 50 days he violated. Since, as we've been learning so many times, the typical naziris is 30 days, we're not too tough on him. And when we tell him that you have to make up your aveira, it's only 30 days that you have to make up as a maximum. Interesting shaila that the Rishayim discuss. By naziris, 30 days means something, because we know stam naziris, typical naziris, is la majoyim. What's going to be the halacha by a naziris that is by neder? By a neder, there's no concept of a 30-day neder. So what will be the halacha if somebody made a neder not to do something for 100 days? For 50 days he violated. So Rabbi Yehuda will certainly say he has to make up to 50 days. Will Rabbi Yossi agree with Rabbi Yehuda because the number 30 doesn't mean anything by Nadarim? Or this thing that Rabbi Yossi says, that we don't want to be overly tough on the person, and therefore by Naziris we don't make him make up more than 30 days, will be the din by Nadarim also. Achlokas Rishayim. Amr Rabbi Yosef, says Rabbi Yosef, Halva Amr Rabbanan, Einis Kakenloi, since Rabbi Yosef said that if somebody violated his nether, his Naziris, Bezdin does not even discuss with him an opportunity to annul the nether or Naziris until he makes up what he did wrong. Beidina the Mizdakiki, if a Bezdin does the wrong thing, and the Bezdin talks to him before he makes up his Aveira, Loyovit Shaper, the Bezdin didn't act properly. They should have followed what we learned in the Gemara. First he has to make up. Rav Achva Yaakov Omer, more mishamtinalei. And the way most Rishonim explain, the Gemara speaking to the Bezdin, this Bezdin acted inappropriately, because they should have not annulled the nether or naziris until the person made up for his aveira. And if the Bezdin did the wrong thing, we put the Bezdin in cherem. Other Rishonim say mishamtinalei goes on the individual. If the individual, before he made up his aveira by holding the amount of days he should have held, he runs to Bezdin, he did the wrong thing, and we put that individual into chayim. The chamar and personal pesach. Tana, we learned in a brisa. Lo oilam al tiragul b'nedarim. A person shouldn't make nedarim. Shesoifa lomal b'shvus. Because if you're going to get frequent to make nedarim, you may make shvus. So there's a number of pshatim this gemara. Some rishonim, most rishonim explain the gemara as follows. As we learned the other day, shvuah, somebody making a false shvuah, is a very serious aveira. As the Gemara says, the Pasuk in the Seres of Dibris says, Lo Yanaka. A person who becomes frequent in making the Dorim may also make Shavuos and violate the Shavuos, and Shavuos is a very serious Aveira. Another Pshat, there's another Girsa that you'll see on the side, Al Tiragul B'Nedarim Shesoifach Limol B'Nedarim. A person makes a Neder with the best of intentions, with the intention to keep the Neder. But it's not always possible that you're going to be careful and remember. So the Gemara is saying that if you're going to make many nedarim, you're in trouble, you may lead to a situation where you're going to violate the nedarim. So the Mefarshim ask, it says in Pirkei Avos, nedarim siyag l'prishis, making nedarim is a way to make sure that you won't do aveiros. We learned the Gemara the other day, ha'aymer, somebody says, okam ve'eshne, perigze, I'm going to get up and learn, Neder Gadol Nadol Alakei Yisrael. So why is our Gemara saying that it's not to be made? So Mefarshim explained, either it's referring to Nidrei Tzedakah, making a neder to give Tzedakah is a different din, or another pshat that I saw is that if somebody's making a neder to make sure that he's doing mitzvahs, that's great. But Shizes making nedarim, that I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to do, that's something that people should refrain from. Continues the Gemara about Tirogel Eitz Al Ma'aretz, don't eat by an Al Ma'aretz, Shesoifcha Lahav Ilchot Tvalim. Tevel, we know, is produce from which truma is not taken. Amaratzim weren't careful, and if you can eat by him, he may give you Tvalim. I saw a beautiful pshat from the Ben Yoyada. Ben Yoyada means, what is Tvalim? Tevel means that you have Kaidish, Truma, and Chulin mixed together. He says, what is the problem with an Am Aretz? The Am Aretz doesn't know how to differentiate between what's holy and what's profane, between what's Truma and what's Chulin. Don't be frequent with people that don't have the proper perspective to life, what's important and what's not important. V'altar b'sicha mi'isha, no, v'altirogel eitz koin Am Aretz, don't eat by koin Am Aretz, shesoifcha la'hilcha Truma. Here too, the tomb shot him in the Rishonim. One pshat in the Rishonim is that Amoritz, we're not concerned, a Kohen Amoritz, we're not concerned he's going to give you Tevel. Because he's allowed to eat Trumas, so why shouldn't he have plenty of Truma available? The concern is that you, the Yisrael, may not eat Truma, and this Kohen Amoritz will not be careful not to feed you Truma, and therefore, the Yisrael should not eat by a Kohen Amoritz. But a Kohen would be allowed to eat them because he's allowed to eat truma. Another pshat that Rishonim say, the concern is that the Am Aretz Kayin is not concerned about truma tameya. The halach is truma tameya, no one is allowed to eat. If that's the concern, then even a Kayin should not eat by a Kayin Am Aretz, because the Am Aretz may serve him truma tameya, which is also to be eaten. Val tar v'sicha ima isha, don't speak too much with women, shesayif chulavel deini if it could come to immorality. So Mepharshim say, firstly, Ben Yoyada says, why does it say im ha'isha? Should say, atar b'sicha im isha. So he says, even if you'll have a woman who's ha'isha, a very prominent, special woman, so you would say, with such a woman, there's nothing to be worried about, that it could come to something inappropriate, tells us the Gemara, even im ha'isha, you have to be concerned. But the other hand, I saw from the Bnei Yisascha, the Sefer Derech Pekudecha, he says that even though our Gemara says that a man should avoid speaking to women, he says that since in the culture that we live in, and this is the Bnei Yisascha speaking, women are not totally separate from men. Women do business and women are in the world. So this Gemara doesn't obviously apply under those circumstances. Continues the Gemara. Rav Achim Rabbi Yosha Omer, kol atzoifa v'noshim, anyone who gazes at women, soif bol de'aveira. Become mistakel be'isha, someone who, mistakel means pays great attention, havle bonim shen magonim, will have children who aren't going to be the way it should be. Amar Rav Yosef ishtanita. So as the Rishonim explained this Gemara, a woman who's not your wife, you're not allowed to look at her at all. Again, just for the sake of looking. A woman who is your wife, so when she's not a nida, you're allowed to look at her. When she's a nida, you're not allowed to look at any place in her body which is typically covered. The Mefarshim go on to say, what's the lashon kol ha-mistakel? To teach us, not only is it osur to look at a woman, at a live woman, for the sake of looking at her, but even looking at pictures of women, when the entire point of looking at the picture is just to gaze at the picture of a woman, is also asr. Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, ikved the tani, when it says you're not allowed to look at the ekev, it means v'makom atanoifus, a private part, covered area. Shemechavim kenegre ekev. Tanya, it says in the pasuk, bavatu yirasa al pneichem zubusha. A person has to act with humility, with shame. Levelti techto, v'mamet shabush mevel day yirischeit. Someone who has this trait will not do averus. V'kan amra, simen yofen ba'adam. It's a nice characteristic, shubayshin, that he has this characteristic that he is embarrassed, he's shamed to do the wrong thing. Chayim Omer, Klaadam Hamizbayish, any person who has this trait, Babim Heru Chayta, will not do averus. Umisha ain't like Bashis Panim, but someone who doesn't have this trait, Yidua Shloi Omdo Avois of Har Sinai. It's a simon that his forefathers were not by Kabbalah Satayra. And Mefarshim explained why, what does Kabbalah Satayra have to do with Busha? So I saw a number of pshat. One pshat is the famous Medrash. We know that Har Sinai was a small mountain. So from Sinai we see that for Kabbalah Satayra, one has to have humility. And somebody who doesn't have, obviously did not learn the lesson of Har Sinai. Another pshat that I saw, the Gemara says, Amra Meya. Rameya says that Klal Yisrael, by characteristic, are really Azim, a very strong people. What broke the Azus of Klal Yisrael? Kabbalah Satayra. So if you see a person still has in himself this characteristic of being an Azus, he obviously wasn't by Kabbalah Satayra when this was broken. Another pshat that I saw, interesting pshat, from the Sefer Yalka HaGashuni. He says as follows. We know that what happened by Kabbalah Satayra. Everybody said Nasa v'Nishma. So he says it's hard to believe. You have such a large tzibur, all of Klal Yisrael, and everybody agrees to Nasa v'Nishma? Very unlikely. So what happened? Most of Klal Yisrael said Nasa v'Nishma, and the other people were embarrassed. They're not going to agree, so they also said Nasa v'Nishma. So that's why everybody said Nasa v'Nishma. But somebody who doesn't have the Midah Busha in him, he would have stood out and not agreed to the Nasa v'Nishma. He wasn't part of Kabbalah Satayra. And really, it's a pasuk that we say all the time, this concept. We say, V'chol b'nayich l'mudei Hashem, Rav Shalom b'nayich. V'chol b'nayich l'mudei Hashem. People who have a connection to l'mudei Hashem, to Torah, are people with Busha. So people with Busha aren't people that fight. So v'chol b'nayich l'mudei Hashem, we will all be connected to Torah, to Kabbalah Satayra, V'rav Shalom b'nayich, there would be Shalom in Klal Yisrael, there would be no fights. And actually, I saw from Reb Tzadik, he says that this lesson of the Gemara is the introduction to Torah. He says, what's the first word of the Torah? Bereishis. He says, the word Bereishis is a combination of two words, Yira, Boishis. Yerushimayim and Boishis. Teaches us the Torah. Before we begin to learn, Bereishis, the introduction to learning, is that a person has to have Yira, he has to be Yerushimayim, and he has to have Bushas. He has to be a Balmidas. After you have the Bereishis, then you could start learning Torah. Continues the Gemara. Om Rabbi Yochim and the Havai. Dalot Varam Sochli Malachi Asheris. There were four things that I learned from the Malachim. Chigurim Neima Havin. Why are the people that are lame? Neshahoivchen Eshulchonim. When they have relations with their wife, they either do it in a unnatural manner, or the wife is on top. And there's a Machloikis. When we say chigrim as a punishment, and as the Mefarshim explained, since it involves the feet, that's why the punishment is by the hips. The machlokes, who gets punished? Is it the man and the woman who did this the wrong way, or is it their children? Ilmim b'nei mahavim, what are people who can't speak? B'nei shemnashkim aloy samokim. Charshim b'nei mahavim, b'nei people, b'nei shemesaprim b'shas tashmish. People are deaf, become deaf, chas v'shalom, because they speak during having relations. Sumim neima havin, why do people come blind? Nem shistakim v'yismakim, they look where they're not supposed to look. V'raminu asked the Gemara, sholos ima shalom. They asked ima shalom, who was the wife of Rebbe Lezer, mem neima b'necha yifyofin. Why do you have such beautiful children? Amala, enim sapimi, he does not have relations with me, lo b'tchilas alayla, not at the beginning of the night, nor at the end of the night. And I saw a number of pshatim, why not at the beginning of the night, why not at the end of the night. One pshat is that at the beginning of the night, so the person's still thinking about everything that he did during the day. As the Gemara is going to discuss at length in the course of the shiur, it's very important when one has relations with his wife, he's not already thinking about another person. And at the beginning of the night, after his full day, that he came into contact with so many people, he may be thinking about another person. The same in the morning, as the person starting to prepare for the day, and he starts thinking about all the people he's going to meet and talk to during the day. Again, there's a concern he's going to think during Tashmish about someone else. One pshat. Another pshat, a very practical pshat. They particularly lived in small homes. And we know that Snius requires that when one has relations with his wife, nobody here. So at the beginning of the night, there's still people up in the house. In the morning, there are people already up in the house. So there's a concern that other people may hear. In the middle of the night, everybody's sleeping, there's less of a concern. A third shot is that it has to do with a medical reason. At the beginning of the night, the person just ate supper, and he's very tired, and he's not healthy enough to have relations. At the end of the night, when the person is not going to be able to go back to sleep afterwards because he has to get up already, again, to get up right after having relations is not healthy. In the middle of the night, he already slept a little, so he's not so tired and his food digested, and he's going to be able to sleep after having relations, and that's why it should take place b'chatzos. Ukshmesaper, when he did have relations with his wife, Megal Tefach Mechasa Tefach, he uncovered the minimum amount of his body. The Doimelov, and when he had these relations, it was Kamisha Kofeshed, as it was he was forced. Meaning, since it was as he was forced, says Tupshotim, so he's in a status of Yira, he's scared, there's a shade on top of him, so he's not going to have the wrong thoughts. Another pshat is that if he's done by force, he'll do it quickly, and there won't be time for the wrong machshavas to come in. And I saw a very interesting pshat from the Bnei Yisoscha, and this is in the Agra Deparka. He says, interesting shaila, why before a person has relations with his wife, doesn't he have to make a bracha? It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to have relations with his wife, certainly if you're doing the mitzvah pru revu. So why doesn't he make a bracha? So he says, because our Gemara says that when a person has relations with his wife, he doesn't have anah. It's kemisha kafa shed. Something that there's no pleasure in, you don't make a bracha on. And I asked, and the Mefarshim explained, is the question on all of these subjects or only on some of them? The reason is, as we've been explaining, he should not think about someone else during the relations. Because when he had relations, he was thinking about someone else, it's like someone else's child in the mamzer. So we see that they did speak during Tashmish, because as the Mefarshim explained, she calls Tashmish Sipur. If he was not allowed to speak during Tashmish, how could we call Tashmish a word that we don't do during Tashmish? Answer the Gemara, Lekasha. Have a meal with Tashmish. If the discussion is regarding the Maisa Tashmish, it's permitted. Have a meal with Chunasa. To discuss other subjects then is wrong. Om Rabbi Yochanan, Zu Divrei Yochanan Ben Davoy. This is Rabbi Yochanan Ben Davoy's opinion. Avul Om Chachamim. That's not the halacha. A person can have any relations in any way he wants. If somebody buys a piece of meat, if he wants to eat it just by having it preserved in salt, fine. Sleep, if he wants to have it roasted, he could eat it that way. If he wants to eat it cooked, he could eat it that way. Sholok, he wants to eat it stewed, he could eat it that way. The cane dag, and the same like a fish, habama beis atzayit, somebody buys a fish, he could prepare it in any way. And as Mefarshim explained, a fish is even easier to prepare than meat, because you don't have to worry about the blood, the dam of the fish. Similarly, a person can have relations with his wife as he pleases. Amar meima, man malachi asharis, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Davoy is saying that he reported this in the name of the malachi asharis, who must he mean? He means the rabbanon. If we're going to say that Yochanan ben Davoy was quoting Mamish Malachim, my Amar Rabbi Yochanan, how could Rabbi Yochanan say, Ein Aloch ke Yochanan ben Davoy? How could he argue on the Malachim? The Malachim and Shemayim certainly know how children are created. So how could somebody argue with Malachim? It must be that the Malachim are Rabbanan. With Rabbanan, we could argue. So the question is, why are Rabbanim called Malachim? If I might correlate Malachi Asharis, why are Rabbanim called Malachi Asharis? The Mitzaynik Malachi Asharis. They're exceptional like Malachim are. Two pshat my son Mefarshim. One is just like Malachim are different than everyone else. So too, Rabbanim are different than everyone else. They're greater than everyone else. Another pshat that I saw is that Malachi Asharis don't look like everyone else. A malach doesn't look like a person. The rabbanon would wear special clothing. It's still the rabbanon. They would wear special clothing, and they'd look different than everywhere else. They were dressed differently than everyone else. And that's why they're called like Malachi Asharis. And the Chasam Sofer says that many times we find the saying, Man Malchi, who are considered Malachim, Rabbonim. He says the basis for that saying is our Gemara. Says the Gemara. He the Sulla came to Rebbe. There was a woman that came to Rebbe. Amalei Rebbe Arachti Lo Shulchan. We had relations for Hafcha, and he did it in a natural, unnatural way. And the Mefarshim say either her question to the Rav was, is it permissible? Some even suggest that she was asking, is this a grounds for divorce? Amalei Biti Taira Terasach. The Torah said that this is permissible to husband to have relations with his wife that way. Vanima Esalach. How could I say differently? He does look at the Rebbe. Amalei Rebbe Arachti Lo. What?
The Gemara was advised not to do it.
No, the Gemara says any way he wants.
Yeah, but
we don't. We said that Loch is not like Yochanan ben Avoy. We don't pass like Amar Yochanan. That Loch is not like Yochanan ben Avoy. He also came to Rav. Amalei Rebbe Arachti Lo Shulchan v'Hafchay. Amar Maishna ben Nasi. Like we said before, what's different than a fish? We said that he could prepare it in any way that he pleases. Says the Gemara. Bless the Surah Achri Levavchem. Mekan Amar Rebbe. Rebbe says, Al Yishta Adam Kozeh, a person should have relations with his wife, V'yitav Eino B'Kos Acher, and think about another woman. In fact, I saw a very interesting tshuva from the Klaus Magareba. He says there's a minig that if a man or a woman get remarried, they should not marry in a second marriage. A man should marry in a second marriage a woman who has the same name as his first wife. Or vice versa, a woman should not be remarried to a man with the same name as her first husband. Why? Because if they have the same name, so there's a greater chance that while they're having relations, since she's mentioning that name, they may be remembered of the first spouse. And our Gemara, we're going to continue seeing this in the Gemara, speaks very strongly against having that type of a situation. And therefore, he says there's a minig that they shouldn't marry in the second marriage a person as the same name as the first marriage. There are paiskim that I saw that want to differentiate if the first spouse passed away or they got divorced. And they're more machmir by divorce because the person is still alive versus a person who's no longer here. It's less likely that they're going to think about a person who's dead. Zok to Gemara. Amar Avina, Lenitzucha, Ela, the Filabez Noshim. Even if somebody has two wives, and they're both his wives, when he has relations with one wife, he should not be thinking about the other wife. The pasuk says in Yecheskel, "Ubaraisi mechem." HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "I will cleanse you of hamardim v'apashim, people who are rebellious and do averus." These are people who are inferior. Says the Gemara, "How do inferior people get created?" Amar Belevi, "Ela b'nei teishim midas b'nei osnas mashgach." Who are they? B'nei ema. So Moshe Shem said, "B'nei ema." If a person threatened his wife to have relations with him, those children will not be proper children. Other Mefarshim say Ema means a Shifcha, that a person should not marry a woman who is a Shifcha Kananis, because we know Shifchas are Shtufim Bezima. Machlokes even in that pshat, when we say he should not marry a Shifcha, does it mean before she was freed, or even after she was freed? B'nei Nusa means a woman who he physically violated, even if it's a wife, a person is not allowed to force himself. B'nei Snua means that if he hates his wife, he's not allowed to have relations with her. However, the Mefarshim ask, Leah says, Ki snua anochi, that Yaakov Avinu hated me. So if Yaakov Avinu hated Leah, how could he have relations with her? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that if during the time that they're having relations, he doesn't hate her, so then it's not a problem. So while they were having relations, he took the hatred out of his heart, and the Mishnah Berurah actually passes that way, that if a husband even doesn't get along with his wife, but during relations he doesn't have those feelings, it's permitted. Another Teretz study says, that the Mefarsh says, Sinua, Leah thought that Yaakov hated her, but Yaakov didn't hate her. He didn't love her as much as Rachel, but he didn't hate her, and that's why he was allowed to have relations with her. B'nei Nidui, and here too there are many pshatim in B'nei Nidui. Most posh pshat is that if the husband or wife are in cherim, then lanala have relations, which is really a difficult pshat, because the Gemara Masechet Ma'akot discusses if a person is in Cherem, is he allowed to have relations? From our Gemara, it seems quite clear that not allowed to have relations. So Mefarshim answer, there, our Gemara is referring to a situation where Beis Din explicitly said that these people are not allowed to have relations. The Gemara Masechet Ma'akot is discussing a situation where Beis Din did not make any specific declaration. The Gemara therefore wants to know if a person is in Cherem may or may not have relations. But if Beis Din specifically prohibited them, then if they have, they're not allowed to have relations, and the children born from that union are Moridim V'Pashim. Another Pshat B'nei Nidui is when the husband or wife are Ba'avelis, when relations are prohibited. Although the Mishnah Berurah says, and we've discussed this, Shaila, certain circumstances, we don't inform the wife that she's a Avelis. If she's sick, different situations. So what's going to be the halacha? A husband is aware that his wife is supposed to be Ba'avelis, but we didn't tell her. Now, and that's the night that she went to the mikvah, that they would typically have relations. If they don't have relations, she'll figure out something is wrong. So Mishnah Berurah says that they're allowed to have relations. Another pshat that they, Mefarshim say, B'nei Nidui, means Ben Hanida. That if somebody has relations with his wife when she's a Nida, besides that there's a Chiv Karis, the children that are born from that union are married in Vipashim. B'nei Temura are again children that the husband, when he had relations with his wife, was thinking about a different woman. Which leads us to a very interesting Shaila. The first night of Yaakov's marriage, he thought he was married to Rachel. He really was married to Leah. So the question is, Reuven, who was born from that union, how could, that it was a Ben Temura. So the Ir Amafarshim that suggests, very interesting pshat, that we know Reuven did not get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Why didn't he get a chelik? His chelik was in the Aver HaYarden, and because he was a Ben Temura. Others explain that that Reuven wasn't born from that night's relations, which is a different, difficult pshat, because the Gemara says Reishis Koichi v'Reishis Oini. Others say that there was such a selflessness between Rachel and Leah that became like one. And therefore, even when he had relations with Leah, it was like Rachel, it was one and the same. B'nai Meriva, if a couple are in a fight, it's not the time to have relations. B'nai Shikras, if either one of them is drunk. Again, the Mefarshim say it's not if they just drank some wine. If they're drunk and they're not able to really think properly, and because we're concerned that they won't have the right thoughts during the Biyah. B'nai Grushas Halev, if a husband wants to divorce his wife, he's not allowed to have relations with her. However, the Paiskim do say that it's only if the husband wants to divorce her and he didn't inform her that he's going to divorce her. But let's say the husband informed his wife that I want to divorce you and they still have relations, that's acceptable. B'nai Arvuvia, number Pshatim. One Pshat is that her husband has a number of wives and he doesn't know which wife he's having relations. Another Pshat, something that we've discussed many times, is that if a woman was married to a man and she didn't wait 3 months until she gets remarried, she should not wait, she has to wait 3 months, because if she gets pregnant, we don't know who's the father, the first husband or the second husband. That's called B'nai Aruvia. B'nai Chatzufa. B'nai Chatzufa is a woman who demands to have relations. The Shulchan Aruch actually brings down one more case, which is not quoted in our Gemara, and that's B'nai Yishona. A person is not supposed to have relations with his wife while she's sleeping. Says the Gemara, we're saying that a woman's not allowed to request to have relations. Ask the Gemara of Amar Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni, Amar Rav Yonasan. Kol Adam Ishtoi Tavasoi. Any man whose wife requests having relations, Havle Bonim, will have children, Shafilu B'dayri Shalmosh Rabbeinu Hayu Kamosam. There won't be children that even in Moshe Rabbeinu's time, there weren't people on such a madrega. Shenema. We know that Kadosh Baruch Hu advises Moshe, Havulchem Anoshim Chachamim V'Nevoinim, that he should take for Beis Din people who are Chachamim and Nevoinim. And we know Rashi in Chumash and Parashas Yisroi says, what's the difference between a Chacham and Oven? A Chacham is a person who, this is the example the Medrash gives, who's a money changer. Money changer, when he has money, he changes. When he doesn't have, he sits doing nothing. A Novin is a person, the Medrash says, while he has work to do, he does. And when he doesn't have work, he takes out his old coins and reviews them. He doesn't waste any time. A Novin is a greater person than a Chacham. The Ksiv, but the Pasuk says, when Moshe Rabbeinu was searching for such people, Ve'ekechas Rashi Shifteichem, V'loik Siv Novinim, he couldn't find a Novin. The Ksiv, but it says regarding Yisoschar, and we know how was Yisoschar born, because Leah comes out to Yaakov, and says to Yaakov, Eli, tonight you'll have relations with me. And from that union, Yisoschar was born. And it says, Yisoschar Chamor Gorem. Why is Yisoschar connected to the Chamor? So the Mefarshim say, going back to the story we just mentioned a moment ago, that night that Leah wanted Yaakov to have relations with her, the Chamor that Yaakov was riding on, the donkey, went in the direction of Leah's tent. Another pshat is, how did Leah know to come out to tell Yaakov, it's my turn? Because she heard the donkey braying. So Yisoschar, how was Yisoschar born? Because Chamor Gorim, because Leah heard the donkey. V'ksivenei Yisoschar yoyde bina litim. Yisoschar has this madrego abina. Says the Gemara, hayide matzeh atzuya. It wasn't that Leah specifically requested to have relations. She showed she wanted to have relations, but not chas v'shalom that she demanded it outright. So Mefarshim ask, if it says that Yisoschar is a novin, why does it say that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't find a novin? Yisoschar was there. So two answers to the question. One answer is that Moshe Rabbeinu did find Yisoschar as novinim, but there was only one shevet. He couldn't find anybody else from another shevet who was a novin. Another pshat that I saw, that even though Yisoschar was a novin, he only came to this madrega of being a novon after he came to Eretz Yisrael. The story of Moshe Rabbeinu seeking such people was in the Midbar. Even Yisoschar, who had this background, did not come to the madrega of being a novon until they reached Eretz Yisrael. The Mashal says, why is it that this is the schar for a woman that properly wants to have relations with her husband, that they should have children who are nevinim? Says the Mashal, as we said a moment ago, what is a novin? A novin is a person that doesn't just rest on his laurels. He wants to do more. He wants to go the extra mile. Leah, a woman who wants to make sure that she's mekayim the mitzvah, is such a person, and therefore she is zoichet to have children who are nevinim. And Rav Tzadik explains that what is a novin? Rav Tzadik explains, the pasuk says that a novin is a person who's yudei itim. He knows different times. So he says, that is what a novin. A novin recognizes what's the proper time to do the proper thing and the time to not do something. He recognizes the difference between a Shabbos and a weekday and a Yontif and a weekday, and he uses all of his time to serve Hashem. Harun Lafayel Matarm, Harun Lafayel Matarm, Harun Lafayel Matarm. When I said this shiur in the morning, I want to say this for Rabbi. I said this shiur in the morning, so